All right, let's begin. We're going to look today at question 87. What is repentance unto life?
Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth, with grief and hatred of his sin, turn from it unto God, with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience.
All right. So you might remember when we first started studying the Catechism. After we would read each question, I would say, "How come does the Catechism ask this question here?" You know, in other words, how did it relate to the last few questions we've been dealing with? And I stopped asking that for a while because we were in the Ten Commandments, and it was pretty easy. The reason why we were working on command number five is because last week we did four, and next week we would do six. So it was a less exciting of a question then. But these questions in the Catechism work off of each other. And so why are we talking about this question here? Why are we talking about repentance today? What's the last few questions? Jeff?
85 talks about the fact that there is repentance unto life. And obviously this question picks up on exactly defining what that is.
Okay, good. And in question 85... repentance was in a list of what things? What was repentance the answer for? I don't know if I'm asking that question very well, but...
things that we need to do to escape the wrath and curse of God.
That's right. And what were the three things it said to do? Really two, and then something else it suggested as well along with it.
To escape the wrath and curse of God.
Mm-hmm. He requires puts faith in Jesus Christ and repent unto life.
That's right. Faith and repentance. And last week we looked at faith, right? This week we're looking at repentance. And so we're kind of fleshing out that question. If we escape God's wrath and curse through faith in Jesus Christ and through repentance, we looked first at faith, now we're looking at repentance. And of course, question 85 goes on to talk about as well, in doing that, to use the outward means as well, of which we're going to talk about in the following weeks, which are the Word of God, the sacraments, prayer. And so today we're going to look at repentance, and starting next week we'll start digging into those outward means of grace that we're supposed to use to grow in grace. Does that make sense where we're at in the Catechism? Okay? And so this is an important subject, isn't it? Obviously, last week, you know, it was a very important subject, faith, right? We talk about how important faith is. You know, we talk about our faith as a Christian faith. Salvation by grace through faith. Yes, faith is at the heart of the gospel, but repentance is also at the heart of the gospel. That faith and repentance really go hand in hand. True faith will lead to repentance. You know, think, how does Jesus begin his ministry? One of the words that come out at the start of Jesus' ministry. Think back to our opening chapter in Mark. Anyone? Jeff, you just answered one. Sorry. Someone else. We'll give you another chance in a moment, Jeff. Don't worry. Don't be bashful. Emily, what do you think? What was Jesus' first words when he started his ministry? Someone can look it up for me then. Mark 1:15. Do you have a Bible there, Emily? You can look it up. Or you don't have a Bible, you got a hymnal. Okay, Ben, look it up for me. Mark 1:15. This is going to have to be like next week's Bible verse, I think. Memory verse. Or anyone who's got it. Vera, go for it.
And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
That's right. Jesus' first words as he gets going on his ministry is repent and believe in the gospel. He said, the kingdom has come imminently here. And the response is repentance and faith. We see in Scripture time and time again, repent and believe. Repent and believe. This is at the heart of the gospel. True faith is going to be acted out in repentance by a change in direction. That's really what repentance is getting at, right? It's a change in direction. We're going to talk through this a little bit now as we look at what repentance is. It starts out here when it says, what is repentance unto life? It says, repentance unto life is a saving grace. Last week we looked at faith. It said faith is a saving grace. What did we say then that saving grace means? It means the same thing here. What's a saving grace?
It's the thing that really brings life. It's a saving grace because it's not a false and deceptive lie.
Okay, good. And break out the words for me. Grace, what's grace?
Grace is a gift that's given to us that we don't do anything to earn.
Yeah.
But true repentance, true salvation is then seen when the person is truly turning away from their old life and turning on to Christ, because they start abhorring what is sinful and longing for what is truly right, not because of a fear.
Let me stop you right there. You're going, getting into the advanced answer. Let's focus on the simple answer first. You said grace is a gift that we don't do anything to deserve,
right.
And a saving grace is a gift that brings us salvation. And so faith, we said, is a gift of salvation to us, a gift that brings us to salvation. And it says here, repentance is that same sort of saving gift to us. And now we often think about that a little opposite. Sometimes we think of faith and we realize, yes, I know I have to believe, but then we think, well, it's a gift that I have faith. But Scripture even says that your repentance is a gift. Let me read you a passage. Acts 11:18. I'll just read it to you. When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Let me read that last line. That God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. This is when they suddenly see that the Gentiles have had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them as well in Acts. And they describe it as that God has granted, given, repentance to life. Of course, we'll see, there's other places in Scripture talk about the Holy Spirit is working that repentance in us. So I guess what I want to start out by saying, even though repentance is something that we do, it's something that God works in us nonetheless. You know, just as much as we know that faith is something we do, we believe, but we give God the credit when we believe and say God has worked that faith in our life, the same is true for even our repentance, that God by the Holy Spirit has changed our heart, that we would have a new leaf on life, a new direction on what we're doing in life. God works that in us. He gets the glory, that means. Isn't that good news, though? Isn't that good news? If our faith and our repentance is about us, it's kind of scary. But when we know that God is the one working it in our lives, that's what we call good news. It's what's so amazing about grace. So, looking then on in this question here, who repents?
Man.
Man, okay. And every man?
Those that are called by His grace.
Well, let me ask you this. Did Jesus need to repent?
No.
That's right. What's the difference between Jesus not needing to repent and the rest of man who need to repent? Maybe that's a better way of asking. Who needs to repent?
Sinners.
That's right. It says, repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner... See, this is just a helpful reminder to us of our state. We're sinners. All of us, save Jesus Christ, need repentance. That's what we looked back at question 82. Reminded us how we all fell short. We all broke all those Ten Commandments that we had just got done studying. That's why we need repentance. So, I know I've asked this question a few times. I'll ask it again. I think it's important here. What's the difference between repentance, what we're looking at today, and confession? You might confess your sins. You might repent of your sins. Similar words, but there's a small nuance there. What's the difference between confession and repentance?
Confession is a public acknowledgement of your sin. Repentance is a heart change.
Okay. And that's a beautiful definition. Absolutely. I was just going to add, your confession could be more of a private nature, but either way, I think what your point was is it's an outward expressing of it. And obviously, you can even confess your sins to God, but that would still be you're making that even known to God at that point. What he obviously knows, but you know, it's an act of acknowledging it, right? And you're right. Repentance is ultimately something worked in the heart. You have a true desire then to no longer go after those sins. You know, you could confess your sins. I really struggle with stealing, and I'm going to go steal. But repentance would say, I really struggle with stealing. So it involves a confession. And now I'm not going to steal anymore. I'm going to keep walking the other way. That's the store where I steal from. I'm going to walk the other way. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not stumble and grab that thing that you shouldn't have, maybe. But your heart has endeavored now a new direction. In other words, our repentance is the U-turn. It's the looking away from the sin and looking toward obedience. That's the word he uses here. It says, turn. Turn from it unto God with full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfectly sanctified right as you repent, but it is a genuine desire at that point to turn away from your old way of living. Again, it's I like to think of a U-turn. You know, you're making a U-turn. What was our old direction as sinners? What direction were we headed toward? Toward hell. Toward the things of Satan. Toward sin. And the new direction, as I just pointed out here, is unto God. Of course, unto mercy, right? It says, recognizing the mercy of God in Christ. It's toward new obedience. So, we've got these two directions that we've headed. The old way, and now, by God's grace, the new way. Let's think a little bit further about the old way. The former direction. It talks about out of a true sense of our sin. Out of a true sense of our sin. What's a true sense of our sin? What's it mean to have a true sense of your sin? Jeff?
An understanding that it separates us from the Father.
Yeah.
It's important in His eyes.
There's some consequences to it. Yeah. It's important. You said important to God's eyes?
It's abhorrent in
abhorrent.
His eyes.
Yeah. It's filthy, odious, right? There's a passage in Ezekiel. I'll read it to you. 36:31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Part of the repentance is, as Jeff said, we recognize how disgusting our sin really is in God's sight. And then we begin to finally feel it in our own heart, how disgusting it is, how displeasing it is, how like a bad aroma. I think that's what it talks about here when it says that with grief and hatred. Right, it says that we, with grief and hatred of our sin, turn from it. It's that grief and hatred that we start to really recognize how horrible sin is. In next week's passage in Mark, that's where Peter's going to deny Jesus three times. And of course, at the end, when that rooster crows the second time, he finally recognizes his sin and breaks down weeping, it says. That's an important element of our repentance, is that we recognize how horrible our sin is. And recognize the danger of it. I think Jeff had mentioned the separation that comes, right? And what's the fullest extent of that separation?
Hell.
Romans 6:23. the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where our old life has headed us. That's our old direction, as we mentioned a second ago, right? Death. And so part of, out of a true sense of our sin, is seeing that our sin is leading us to death. It's recognizing the direction that we're headed. It's one thing for us now to know it now, but the point of repentance is where we've acknowledged that and recognized it. Most people who are in their sins and refusing to repent don't really believe, they haven't really come to that conviction and belief that their sins are heading them to eternal damnation. And in fact, some of them might even joke about it. Oh, I'm looking forward to partying in hell or something like that. They really haven't understood in that sentence what hell really is all about. They haven't really recognized what their sin really deserves. They don't have, in other words, a true sense of their sin. And of course, I think implied in all of this is that we recognize that our sin is a breaking of God's commandments. That's part of what's a true sense of our sin, is that we realize that it's breaking God's law. You know, we talked about the Ten Commandments, and of course there's a number of commandments in Scripture. And so we need to come to that point of recognizing as well that we have broken those laws. You know, God's word makes sin clear. Romans 7:7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would have not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. And so God's law brings to light the various sins that we do. Of course, Romans also talks about how our own consciences bear witness against us. Even apart from the written law, God has put His law even on our hearts so that our consciences convict us of our sin. But the problem is that so often people suppress that. They don't want to listen to that nagging voice inside that says, I've done something wrong. And they fill themselves with lies and begin to even change their conscience. You know, they're able to reinform and re-educate their consciences to actually believe the lies of sin that they're doing. That's why people in good conscience can have some pretty different ways of living life. In the sense of our consciences are not immune from our sin and our own sinful influences as well. But the point I'm trying to make here, that when we have a true sense of our sin, as it talks about here in repentance, when we recognize what our former direction was going toward, how it broke God's laws, how it is filthy in God's sight, displeasing to Him, and it recognized the damnation, when we come to that point, that's the first half of repentance. The second half then is turning the new way. Does that make sense? Recognize where you're headed out of a true sense of your sin. Our society doesn't think of sin too badly, does it? Often it takes it very lightly. I think sin can be cool even, depending on who you talk to. It should break our hearts when we realize that man is continuing to head away from God. But of course, the Catechism says that once we turn from that old way, that we need to head the new direction. And it uses this word, new obedience. That we are to make the turn. Turn from the old, and with full purpose of and endeavor after have new obedience. I want to make a distinction here. I think it's an important distinction. Our repentance, I said, isn't confession. It's more than that. But repentance also is not sanctification. Or maybe what I'm trying to say is that our repentance doesn't mean that we have a complete, perfect life of new obedience at this point, that we never struggle with sin. Sanctification is that process, isn't it? It's that process in our life where we're becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ, where we're growing in godliness. Sanctification is, as a theological concept, is a little bit distinct from repentance, isn't it? Repentance is that I'm looking now toward the new direction. I have every full intent of heading toward the path and road called new obedience. Sometimes you may stumble and fall in that, but that's the road that you're headed toward now. And I just want to make sure the distinction there. That's why it uses words here in the description of full purpose of and endeavoring after. Our repentance should be without reservation. Jeff, you're laughing. Share me your...
just the fact that, I mean, that's our goal, but obviously we fall short of that.
Yeah, even in our repentance we fall short, huh?
Yeah.
That we often say, I repent, and believe in our hearts we're heading in the right direction, but hold things back. Jules, you have a question?
Well, I was just thinking that after we're born again and we do walk down that road of the goal of repenting and turning away from sin, yet, although we're born again, we still sin.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus paid for all of our sins, right, past, present, and future. What scripture bears that out? Do you recall any?
All of them. John 3:16, right? The most famous one, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Obviously, that assumes that we don't have to believe and then live perfectly, right? Look at the book of 1 John. It talks about to Christians, written to Christians. He tells those Christians, if you say you have no sin, then you're a liar. But he then tells people to go back to the Lord for forgiveness. So I would say just read the book of 1 John. I think it answers that very question. It brings out others' forgiveness for believers.
I have a Pastor Miller quote that is very pointed, and few of us here will remember it. He said, if you are born again, you will be conformed to the image of Christ. You can make it hard or you can make it easy.
Amen. Amen. Did that answer your question a little bit, Jules?
Oh, yes. Well, I already knew what the answer was.
Of course.
But I was trying to think of a distinctive scripture that would bear that out.
Yeah. I think 1 John's a good place to go. It's got several good passages in there about confessing our sins, and we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness in him. And then he goes on, little children, you've been forgiven of your sins. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's not just for people before they become a Christian, right? So, all manner of sins, Jesus says, will be forgiven of man except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? That's another one. Jeff, I think, had a good little segue there for where I wanted to go here, is that we come to this point of faith and repentance by God's grace. We have a full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. And then as we look at our lives, we realize that we've been holding back in a certain area of our repentance. What do we do then? Well, God gives us plenty of... this is kind of segueing to next week's message as well. God gives us different means of grace to aid us in this struggle. Prayer. If you see you're struggling with an area of repentance, get down on your knees and pray. Pray for the Lord to help you in that area. You've got the Word. The Word confronts us on our areas of lacking repentance, doesn't it? It calls us out. Maybe we thought we were following God's law, but maybe we didn't know God's Word enough, and we come to a passage and you realize, oh, I haven't been doing that. God would have me to do that. I'm confronted with an area I thought I had repentance in, but I realize now how I haven't, and I need to repent there of that. And, Christian fellowship. We can keep each other accountable. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another and spur each other on as iron sharpening iron. That's part of the body of Christ. Even like the sacraments, right? At communion, we call the body to reflect, to examine. Are there areas of, in terms of repentance that you haven't repented of yet? That you're aware of? Sins that you say, look, I know I have this sin, but I'm going to ignore what God's Word has to say in it. I'm just going to revel in my sin I'm going to live in it, and I don't want to hear what God has to say about it. The reason why God calls us to that is so that before you come to the communion table, you have this chance to say, oh, my attitude's been wrong. I haven't had repentance in this area. Now I'm going to come in repentance. We need to examine our hearts and lives. And so, in other words, God gives us these different means to outwardly use to work inwardly in us. And we should take advantage of them. If we want to grow in our faith and repentance, we should take advantage of them. That's what we're going to be getting into in these next few weeks to come when we start talking about these outward means of grace. But as we kind of wrap up here, I want to remind us, of course, of the gospel again. Why do we repent? What does this question have to say here of why we should even repent? You know, if there was just strict justice, where we got what we deserved, and we had already racked up an eternal weight of punishment in God's sight that we could never pay, what good to change your direction at that point? But the Catechism says, of course, based on Scripture, I'm sorry?
Repentance unto life.
Repentance unto life, that's right. And it says as well, with apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ. See, those two phrases in the Catechism, repentance unto life, with apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, that's the gospel in this answer here, isn't it? We're not just repenting and hoping we'll not incur any more punishment. We're repenting because we have apprehended that there is mercy in God by the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And so, as an expression of our faith, we're repenting because we have recognized there is forgiveness in Jesus, that we can then not only not incur further punishment, but we can have new life in Jesus. That, of course, is the gospel. And we need to keep reminding ourselves that as we repent, you know, that's maybe another difference between confession and repentance. Confession can maybe just stay too focused on yourself, right? Not, again, confession we need to do. But if you just confess your sin, it's about what you have done wrong, but you need to not stay just confessing about what you have done wrong, you then need to look upon life. Look upon forgiveness. Look upon the cross. Survey the wondrous cross. Right? That's all a part of what repentance is bringing us to, that wonderful point of seeing our Lord and Savior, seeing His mercy. And that's good news. And so, I hope we've been reminded here that God doesn't want us just to have some sort of faith that is merely intellectual. He wants our faith to be an expression of a changed heart that is going to now look away from what we used to be and pursue what God would have us to be. Beautiful children of God that are zealous for good works, it says in Titus 2. And so, pray for this changed heart. That's how we're going to have repentance. If repentance, as we started out saying, is a saving grace, we need the changed heart that God gives us. Pray that He would work repentance unto life in our hearts. Turn to His mercy, and He will freely give it. And so, before we close, I'd like to sing Happy Birthday to Frank. It's your birthday, isn't it, Frank?
It is.
Why don't you stand up? We're going to sing Happy Birthday to you. You don't have to have money, Frank. Stand up and let us sing Happy Birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. How many years, Frank?
Not many more.
Can I say something?
You may.
You did it.
Happy birthday.
I wanted to say 25, you know, and all that, 50, 75, I'm going to put quarters in. Mm. I got eight coins I'm going to put in. A quarter and a dime and two nickels and two pennies, something like that. Anyway, but I wasn't going to have any jokes. I'm glad.
And it's tomorrow is your birthday? Or
no, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I was going to bring it next Sunday, but this is fine.
Ben ratted on you during the Sunday school hour, said it's Frank's birthday. Yeah. So.
I called him at a quarter after and he was gone already.
Well, happy birthday.
Okay, thank you.
Jules?
That path of repentance is not always a very easy path because thoughts.
Yeah.
You get thoughts that are not pleasing the Lord, and you confess them and you ask for help to overcome, but the world keeps triggering you on TV, radio, and magazines and newspapers, and it's very difficult to see any improvement after years.
Absolutely. Yeah. All sorts of people that would try and influences to try to pull us back the other direction, right?
Yes.
Jesus came, like we said at the beginning, repent for the kingdom is at hand, calling us to turn, but the world is all around us saying, no, turn back this way. Come back this way.
Yes.
It's only by God's grace that we stand up under those trials, huh?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Any other difficult things, difficult reasons for keeping us from full repentance? Guess even just ourselves, right? Our own lusts. Even if the world doesn't actively try to entice us, we can often look at the world and say, oh, that looks exciting over there. This road, new obedience, it's kind of narrow, but that road over there is glitzy and glamoury, that road called sin over there, you know, we can often be enticed by our own desires too. Yeah. Well, let's go to the Lord now, asking for more of His grace as we strive to repent in our lives. Father, we do thank You that You give us repentance unto life. That too is a gift from You, as Your Scriptures have declared to us. Lord, we thank You that it's by Your Holy Spirit that's working repentance in our hearts. And Lord, we pray for more of that work, more of that grace. Cast our eyes upon You all the more. Help us to overcome the temptations in life and the temptations in ourselves to go back to our old way of living. But may we press on all the more as we see the day approaching of Your return. May we look forward to it with eager expectation. Lord, we love You so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.